today's daf. Today's daf is daf Ches, and we are. I hope it doesn't mean we're going to be thrown into the bin today after having all that gold yesterday. So daf Ches continues now the machlokas. We're trying to see whether we can prove that the explanation that we have of the machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Rabbanan, at least as the way Tosfos understands the Chakra Vitaria, which was the way that Rabbah interpreted the machlokas, whether that interpretation stands, namely that there's a machlokas as to when Rosh Chodesh was that year, and based on that we can determine whether we're talking about Vav B'Sivan or Zayin B'Sivan. And we trace this all the way back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And up until now, we saw that it was possible that everybody would agree about what was going on in Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Shaila was whether they held like the Acherim or not, or if they don't hold like the Acherim, is where we came out yesterday, whether they had made two Chaseris or one Chaser. That's the closest that we have gotten to a peerish of the machlokas aliba this approach, that it's kulo a question of how Rosh Chodesh worked out. Today we find very interestingly that in the Seder Elam it's not so clear anymore that that first assumption about Yetzias Mitzrayim being on a Thursday was correct. If that's not correct, then everything, of course, changes. And we don't need to go through this whole question of what the halacha would be, Ali B'Dacherim, and so on and so forth. And indeed, it turns out, Toshma, the Tanya B'Seder Elam, in the brises of Seder Elam, it has a different approach to the Yetziah. The Nisan, Shebo Yatzu Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, B'Arba'asar Shachtu Pischehem, B'Chamisha'asar Yatzu, so far it's the same words, and now it changes. The way we had been learning until now was on a Thursday. So then everything worked out here, Aliba de Rav Yossi. But now it says it's on a Friday. If it was on a Friday, then making the original assumptions that we made, let's ignore for a moment all of the issues of whether they were Ibrua, whether they hold like the Acherim, how many Chaseris, and so on. So now, if in a normal year, mid Reish Yarcha, the Nisan Erev Shabbos, then Reish Yarcha, mid Reish Yarcha, the Nisan Erev Shabbos, according to this, since Nisan is always Malay, then Reish Yarcha, the Iyar, in other words, whatever day the 15th is, that's what day Rosh Chodesh is, right? It's always the exact same day. So Reish Yarcha, the Iyar, would have had to have been in a Chodesh Malay, Echad B'Shabbos. But that means that Sivan, assuming that Iyar is Chaser, is on Monday. That doesn't work out of the Rav Yossi, Kashul Rav Yossi, starting from Yetzias Mitzrayim. Amalek Rav Yossi, Amani Rabbanan. Now it turns out we don't need all of the explanations we had yesterday. We could actually have a machlokas going back to the beginning. We don't have any further references to try to check out our dating, because that's the earliest question, is to determine when the Yetziah was. Of course, according to this, you can't possibly say that Shabbos HaGadol is the day that they purchased the Korban Pesach, because 4 days before, it was a Sunday now, it wasn't Shabbos. I mean, the whole pirush that everybody gives Shabbos HaGadol, we'll have to take some of the other pirush. There's lots of other pirushim, the cutest of which is the Maril Pirush, is that it's called Shabbos HaGadol in the same way that Yom Kippur is called Tzumah Rabbah. The Tzumah Rabbah, it's the great tzom. There's a lot of tzoms, but there's one tzom you really got a lot of extra dinim and so on and so forth. He says Shabbos HaGadol is the Shabbos that's got the most drushes, the longest schlepping around in shul, but they're saying that HaGadol, it's a schlep, they call it Shabbos HaGadol.
Isn't the Rosh Chodesh dependent on
Riyah?
How can we say it's always a
Molly back? No, it's a very nice point that you're making. Although Lemaisa, the Mefarshim speak out that apparently they were Noyeg al Pi Cheshbon even before the prote dinim. In other words, they had a right to, at that point, to decide, which lamaisa is true even today. We choose to ignore it. The president can play games with, but apparently they were being noyeg al pi the cheshbon, even though the mitzvah was chodesh zolachem, kazera eva kadesh, and so on and so forth. And you would think that the prote dinim, the seida ibur, and so on, were given over only later. It's clear that that's not true. In other words, it was a getter of a Sanhedrin that could be Koveya and so on and so forth, even in that time. So the rest is Ibrua, Ibrua. I mean, in other words, they had made up how it is that it should be. But your point is well taken and is spoken in Beferish among the Beferish. Okay, so now we have a Machlokas going all the way back. So Toshma, Rabbi Yossi Omer, B'sheni ala Moshe b'yarad, b'shlishi ala b'yarad, b'rvi'i yarad, v'shuv lo ala. Now, as you recall yesterday, we saw that we had Psukim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe and says that Moshe sent over to the Yam, or to the Zikanim, and then he returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, told him what the Yam had said, whether it was Vayoshev Moshe, or was Vayaged Moshe. We saw that there was a whole back and forth that was going on. So Moshe was going up and he was coming down and he was communicating and being the seer, so to speak, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the agent that was trying to get work out now the whole Tzura of Kabbalah Santera. Okay, so the first day we know, which was the second day of the arrival, because the first day we said HaKadosh Baruch Hu let them rest. All right, but the first day that he was Eila, second day of arrival, what did he go up for? To hear the offer. Attend to Yelu to Yuli Mamlachas Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh, the whole explanation. Segula Mikola Ami, he comes down, he speaks to the Zikanim, all of the Am hears about it, they say, Naz. Okay. Then he went back up, he says over the Kabbalah in the next day. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu now tells him that there's a chiyuv of Hagbalah. Now, we saw yesterday that actually Hagbalah seems to occur later. Okay, but again, as we said, we'll explore that problem only after we see this sugya b'shleibusa. So then he got the mitzvah of Hagbalah. By the way, we saw two times already. It's important to remember this. We saw two times already. The Gemara takes for granted that Hagbalah was the earliest issue. So that we saw it, first of all, in the very beginning of the sugya, before we spoke about what it was that they had been talking, the difference between Vayashev and the Yaged of Moshe. And then we saw it in trying to figure out yesterday what Yom HaShlishi means. Shlishi to what? So it was Shlishi to the issue of Hagbalah, which is very clear that Hagbalah had come up way back in the beginning, even before it's even mentioned in the Pasuk. Forget about it. The order of the circuit, right? And we pointed out yesterday that that is clearly a raya, that the issues on Har Sinai revolved around the concept of Hagbalah, and we see this to be true in the Mishkan, in the Kedushas on Mishkan, and in the death of Nadav Avihu, and in the only violation that's recorded on Har Sinai, which was the Vayechazu HaSalim Ve'achlum Yishu. Was it you who quoted to me yesterday, the Kedush Eri? Yeah. And Rav Moti said to me afterwards that indeed there's a Chidushi Harim who was Madaik not from the Sugya, but from the fact that the Tzivoy had to be repeated two times, that Hagbalah was the most difficult thing to be Makabal. Lamaisa, again, it's so easy to go to the Sugya, not the Chab, but that's what's going on. The Gemara is making a fuss of this. People read through this and don't see that's what it's referring to. That this was mamish the problem. Okay, so the mitzvah of Hagbalah, so again, for the third time over here, is Rashi's Mefarish, B'shlishi Allah, means that that was the first thing that was told. Hagbalah, they're going to have Hagbalah. The next day, now over here it says, it doesn't say he went up, so I was going to ask, if he didn't go up, how did he come down? That's a little bit strange. But whatever it was, we know obviously what happened the next day. The next day, that's already the day of Hafrasha, of Frisha. So the next day was the discussion of Ritzoneinu L'Rayis Malkeinu, And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, okay, if that's the case, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, Bashkama, or not Bashkama, depending if you hold it, like Rabbi Akiva or not, and he tells them the mitzvah of Prisha. So that was Berevi. Veshuv lo ala, that was the last time that Moshe Rabbeinu went up until it was time to actually be Mekabel Torah. Wait, what do you mean? He came down Berevi, but he never went up. Me'akash lo ala, me'echan yarad. I said, where did he come down from? No, Berevi, Allah, the Arad, was after hearing the, telling them over the dinim of Hagbalah, so he came up now to discuss the dinim of Prisha, because he was Gerim, the dinim of Prisha, and then he came down and was and was mitzavet in the mitzvah of Prisha. B'chamishi, which is the fifth of the days in which he was communicating, Bona Mizbeach, so that is the reference to the Mizbeach at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, which is Vayivan, Resh Mizbeach, and so on. That actually took place before, says the Gemara, and that's how Rashi's Mefarish in Mishpatim. Lamaisa, the Ramban argues, and he gives a different pirush to that Mizbeach. But Ezra argues it's all, but whereas Rashi is learning that the Gemara is referring to the end of Mishpatim. What's it doing? Is that later? Ain't muktam u'mukhar b'tayr. You're fine. So this was the Mizbeach where we had the Zrikas Damim on Klal Yisrael for Knisa Lebris, which is where we learned out the dinim of a ger, that a ger is mechuyav and karban and so on. At that point, the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, so every ger will have to bring his karban. So b'chamish ibana Mizbeach, v'kri v'lof karban. This is where the karbanas now we needed to bring an eilan ishlamim. And that's the Shailen Chagiga. Was this the Ayla? What Ayla was this? Was this the Ayla that there was a Chiyav already of the Ayla's Tamid? Or was the Ayla's Tamid, it wasn't yet time for Chiyav of Ayla's Tamid until after the Binyan HaMishkan and the Tzivuyin? And this was an Ayla's Riyah. Because when you're Raya the Shechina, you're Mechuyav to bring a Korban. So just like when you come up to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring a carbon riyah. This was a carbon riyah. This was the first carbon riyah. Okay. And then Bishishi, when it came already, Yom HaShishi lo haya lo pnai, he didn't have any time. Why didn't he have any time? I assume he didn't have any time. Mishum Taira, he was probably busy because he needed to go up and to be Makabal Taira on Shishi. So thought we, as apparently we don't have that extra day. It's saying we had another day and the Torah was put off till the next day. Huh? I explain that? No, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi understands that what this means is he didn't have time because it was Erev Shabbos and he was busy making a challenge. It doesn't mean that he had to run up to be Mekabel Torah. Now we see why he didn't go back. If he had to make the challenge.
Big challenge.
So then, okay. So Mishum Tarek Shabbos, in which case we can support this Aliba de Rabbios. Darash Ahu Gelila, Aleda Rav Chisda. Okay, here's another question about how you learn Rabbios Yerabonim. So there was a certain Gelila that used to go around, he was a Magid, and he was Aleda Rav Chisda. A leader of Chista, it's interesting, the Gemara always uses this Lashon. So-and-so was a leader, so-and-so. Rashi usually doesn't explain it. Over here, it troubles him, because to say, Ahu Gelila, a leader is actually standing above Rav Chista. How is he standing above Rav Chista? It doesn't even have, No, a Talmud Chacham should be standing above Rav Chista. So Rashi says, a leader of Chista means when somebody gives a speech, You have a row of people that are sitting, and one person stands and gives the speech. The person who's standing and giving the speech looks like he's higher than everybody else. So Aleh Rav Chisda means, if you have the Mizrachvan, Rav Chisda was sitting there, this person was giving the speech with Rav Chisda sitting. So he looked like it was Aleh Rav Chisda. So here's where Rashi's Mefarish, a lotion of the Gemara, that occurs all over. So that it shouldn't be misunderstood what the concept of Aleh means. Doesn't mean he's Lamaila Mimeno in Darga or anything like that. It's just that he looks like he's the one who's standing and giving a speech. So what did he say that has to do with our circuit? He said, Brich Rachmana, the Yoiv Orion Tilisoi, Baruch Hashem, who gave a three-part Torah. Rashi learns a three-part Torah is Torah and Nevi'im Uksuvim. There's other Pirushim on three-part Torah. Three-part Torah, Torah Shebiksav, and then Mishnah, and Kabbalah, Torah Sasaid. There's a lot of different here, but it's a Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, fine. Who gave a three-part Torah, La'am Tilitoi, to a three-part nation, who have Kohanim, Levi'im, and Israeli. Al Yedei Tilitoi, by a third-born Lurechem, who was Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. B'yom Tilitoi, on a day, which was the third day of Prisha. Third day of Prisha doesn't work out, Alibi Rav Yossi. And B'yachat Tilitoi, and it was on a month, it was the third month of the year. So who is he going to, according to Kaman? To Rabbanan. This only works out according to Rabbanan, because Rav Yossi really messes up this rush with you. He can't say B'yom Tilitoi. That's terrible. I mean, you could see why you would pass it like Rabbanan.
I don't know who it is.
I don't know, because I don't think the Gemara ever identified.
What was that? So
we don't want to even think we might be, you know. That's the pshat. And they were standing on underneath, it sounds like. B'tachti sahar, you stand under a mountain. Omer abdimi barchama barchasa malamit shekafa kadosh baruch hu alehim et ahar chigigit. This teaches us they were literally under the mountain. I'm under the gun. Under the gun. In other words, you are the target. We're under the mountain. So we have to imagine as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was holding the mountain over the head. And he was telling them, look, ima tem mikablim ha-Torah mutav, v'im lav sham teik furatchem. You want to say yes? You want to say no? I'll make you a deal you can't refuse. Because if you say no, I'm going to drop the mountain on your head. So in other words, when you're in such a massive, you're under the gun. What are you going to say? No, I'm not interested. What are you going to say? Well, I said, there's nothing to say. I mean, obviously I'm interested. Well, I mean, I can't say that I'm happy about the fact that we got to a situation where I'm faced with this kind of choice, because this is really, this is overwhelming. But obviously I have no choice about what it is I'm going to be saying. I'm certainly not going to reject that Kadosh Baruch Hu's offer. I just wish we could have waited another 20, 30 years, maybe, and gotten into some movies and pizza in between, you know. But once it comes, it comes, you know. So what's the pshat in that? In other words, that it was such a clarity. You can understand yourself that if you're in such a matzav, you have no choice. That's the point. Such a clarity about the value of Torah and the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on. You can't really say no. So the whole thing becomes a formality. Do you want it? Of course I want it. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, however, says Rav Acha bar Yaakov, what this means is that mikan lo da'ara b'alei oraita. You now essentially have the equivalent of a moda. A moda means when a person enters a contract, he can write out previously and have signed a contract which says, not a contract, but a hoda'ah to Besdin, that look, I'm about to sign such and such a thing, I am under the gun, and I don't mean a word of it, and here's witnesses and so on, and I was being forced into this thing, and therefore you should ignore it.
An escape clause.
So this becomes, no, this is not an escape clause in the contract, it's a negation, exactly, it's a negation of coming contracts. Which I can't openly put into the contract because the gun's on me, they'll shoot me. So I have to let the court know that even though I wrote out this check was extorted from me. So I can only do that before. Okay, so over here, essentially, since everybody knows that we were coerced into this, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tie it to us and say, so how come you didn't keep the mitzvahs? Come on, I mean, you know perfectly well that we have no choice but to accept us mitzvahs. So what do you have a tie on us now? We don't have a kabbalah mitzvah. I mean, it's obvious. On Marava, it's true that for the first centuries, there was, in fact, such an issue. However, less than a millennia later, there was a reacceptance of the Torah during the time of Ahasuerus, as it says, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yehudim, and that was out of love and commitment. Nobody would coerce anything out of them. And it says that they accepted, as part of the excitement of Purim, that they accepted the terrible Leif Sholem, Kimu Mashikiblu Kvar, they finally were Mekayim, which is the opposite of a Modah, a Kiyum of a Shtar, is that we've looked into this, and this Shtar essentially stands, and it's Hakol Sharir V'Kayam, like we say at the end of a Shtar. It means we've checked out all the Modahs, and so on and so forth, and this is 100% reliable Shtar. So in other words, Klal Yisrael was Mekayim, the original Shtar, that had a Modah on it, so to speak.
So that why we drink so much? So, no, we were honest that time, too.
Right? No.
We always think it's
what is it? It's an umdana. An umdana is an equivalent to a doesn't mean a big sign. That's the way that it's used. A modah rabba, modah, as I explained to you, has a technical meaning. A modah is a notification to the court. That is mevatel, an act later, a check, a contract, and so on.
It's a
negative,
a negative thing, not a positive thing.
A negative thing, exactly.
All right.
Some people put a big notice on the notice.
Those are also negative things.
it's a big notice.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. I noticed that the Torah is not binding. Now, there's a beautiful Maharal. The truth is, the mocker of the Maharal is actually the Zohar, even though the Zohar doesn't say it on this pasuk, but well, it talks about the entire Yetziah Mimitzrayim. There's a beautiful Maharal who points out that this means, if we view the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Klal Yisrael, as we see throughout Shir HaShirim and so on, as a sexual relationship, the whole thing is Dodi and so on, then that means that Kabbalah HaTorah was a rape. Because coercion under the circumstances of sexual acceptance is rape. That means that Kabbalah HaTorah essentially was HaKadosh Baruch Hu raping Klal Yisrael. How could it be such a thing? Says the Maharal, that's the whole point. There is a special value in rape. What's the value? That lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav. Someone who rapes a woman can never divorce her. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, can never get rid of Klal Yisrael. If what had been established was a normal marriage type of thing, okay, so maybe he'll get tired of us. He'll get tired of us, so maybe he'll give us a get. But the whole nature of Torah is that it's not, it isn't something that is a move. It happens to be, it's the whole point of my separation. It's no way to get out of it. And that was actually the meaning of the rape. What was the rape? It was that we were also clear there's no way out of it. That's the point of calling it a rape. A rape means that, look, it's basically you're overpowered. That's the point. So if we would have entered into the Torah from our point of view by acceptance, that's not as powerful as entering into it as rape. Because it would mean that we would always feel, but there's alternatives. Okay, we happen to choose this, but there's alternatives. It was essential to see at Kabbalah HaTorah there is no real alternative. Stop fooling yourself. If you go in with the sense that there's alternatives, then you'll never accept it as an absolute reality. But the whole point of Kabbalah HaTorah is that it must be perceived as an absolute reality that never left any alternatives. So Memela, both Mitzad Klal Yisrael and Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only way to properly describe the relationship of Kabbalah HaTorah is onus. And you see reflected in the Torah HaKadosh Bichlal this special understanding of the nature of onus. That where rape results in a relationship, and obviously a woman doesn't have to accept a rapist as a husband, but where it does result in a relationship, then it means that there's a deeper relationship and not a lesser relationship. Because there's an acceptance of the fact that there never was any choice. Right? The truth is that this is very much part of the whole concept of date rape. But people don't think of it as it's done, but there's a getter of date rape in which the people feel there's no way I can stop myself. In other words, it's not a date rape in which I have a taiva and I'm gonna rape a person stomp with force. Adarabba, I'm in love with you, but I'm so deeply in love with you, I can't stop myself, right? That's the concept of daybreak, the real concept of that. I'm taking advantage of a date to take advantage of a woman. But rather, somebody's been going out for a long time, and they're not married, and she wants to wait until they're married, and he says, but I can't stop myself. Why? Because I love you so much. So there, you could see that there would be an acceptance. It doesn't necessarily drag him to the police. She recognizes that that means there's something that's here that is just unstoppable. We're meant for each other, and that there's no way to put it into a proper context. It's overwhelming. That's this idea as well. Maybe we're not ready. You're right. We're really not ready. We weren't ready until Purim for a full appreciation of the impact of this relationship. It took 1,000 years to come to understand what the implications are of this and to really be able to be kibbutz v'kibbutz. But it had to begin with just acquiescing to the inevitable. It's inevitable that Klal Yisrael is going to be accepting the Torah. It's just, what else is going to be? That's what existence is.
So the Das said the Mishnah said.
This is a different issue. This is a different issue which Tosus asks. Tosus asks here, what is the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Because when the Kofalim Arkadig is after Nasa and Nishma? I mean, how can you view the... It's not that it's really a question, because understanding it this way, Nasa and Nishma itself, means there's such an intense recognition that you'll say Nasa and Nishma, but you'll say Nasa and Nishma because of the fact that you're in a certain state of mind that you normally wouldn't have been in. So how can you use a person when they're in euphoria or they're under the influence or whatever? I mean, how can you take their signature as a binding signature? Tosis' problem is the presentation. First you present Nasav and Ishma, and then you present Kofalei Marfagigas. I mean, if the Nasav and Ishma was a result of Kofalei Marfagigas, so then it couldn't have been this way. It must be that originally there was a push in the Nasav and Ishma, and then something happened after that in which there was a sudden understanding that they were Takhti Sahar. So Tosis, maybe in Akinami, that's the point. In other words, they said Nasav and Ishma in terms of how they understood it at the moment of offering. But then when they came to Har Sinai, they saw the Eish HaGadol of Har Sinai and so on, they recognized that the reality of it is far more imperative than they had assumed. Because a person sort of, you know, makes it like a nice romantic kind of thing in his mind, you know. They're gonna become from, you know. Then when they find out what it's really about, oh my God, like, what did I get into? Right? So it's the same thing over here. All of a sudden they see the Eish HaGedolah on Har Sinai. This is really serious stuff. I mean, it doesn't seem to be, there's no wiggle room. We don't want to enter into a world where there's no wiggle room. The other pshat, which the Tanchuma brings, is that they were Mekabel Torah, B'Lev Sholeh. And then they found out about Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's a disaster. I mean, Mela to be Mekabel Torah. You know, okay, I mean, people like to have clarity also. I mean, you know, okay, God's going to tell me what to do. Yeah, God will tell you what to do. That's great, of course. It's wonderful. I got a problem. I'll just call it God. what is it called over there? It's a terrific, frightening thing. The guy who made Ice in the River Phoenix movie, in the earliest movie. But anyway, they showed religious insanity. They had among these natives there was this missionary, and he's showing them how you can get close to God. He's explaining to them, you know what it is when you're Mekabel Yoshka Kripik. You have a problem, you pick up the phone, and he picks up an imaginary phone. Hello, God, I have a problem. You think you can take it? Thank you, God. Some people have this simplistic feeling, okay, if God's going to tell me what to do, I got no... That sounds like a great idea. Then you come in, and you see that all hell is broken loose. The Eish HaGedolah, you're going to be spending the rest of your life trying to figure out one sugya. You know, you're not going to have ever a clear answer about anything. This one's going to say that. That one's going to say that. You're talking about a history of misery. This is what I got into this for. That was the Chazorah afterwards. That I wasn't holding by. And in fact, that's the main issue in Purim. Purim was the beginning of Teresh HaBalpeh, essentially, in the sense of that became the whole focus. Right? And after Purim, that's when Pirkei Avos begins. Nobody had anything to say before Purim. It was the Shiori Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. They were the first ones who had something to say. Hey, how you angry? All of the from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Zakenim and the Nevi'im, nobody had anything to say. Because the development wasn't the Teresh HaBalpeh development. Was it going to give you over Mishnayos from those days? You're living the Teresh HaBalpeh. The complexities that kicked in after Purim and the whole new level of living and the coming back to a Beis HaMikdash that wasn't a Beis HaMikdash, it didn't have any at all, the Disneyland was gone, and it went. That created an entirely new way of looking at the world, and they would require this. It was only at that level of complexity that there was a real Hadar Kiblua. Omar Chizkiya.
So that mean that the idea is like a rage, is that the Kedushin was only, Purim was the Kedushin, or what you say?
It's sort of retroactive. It's not, but in a sense, yeah. In other words, you could see that you could even go through a second standard, just as a Zecher L'Dovra kind of thing, which is what we do. We do on Purim. Omar Chizkiya, my deceive me shamayim hishmata din eretz yara v'shakata. Mishamayim Mishmata Din seems to be clearly a reference to Har Sinai. When else was HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mashmiya. So then, how can you say Eretz Yorah B'Shakata simultaneously? I mean, isn't the state of Yirah a state of agitation? And a person is in fear. I mean, we even call it butterflies in your stomach. I mean, to use the word Shakata with Yorah, it's an oxymoron. So, Im Yorah, Lama Shakata, Im Shakata, Lama Yorah. Elabit Fila Yara. The point is like this. Eretz Yira'ah, the earth was terrified up until that moment. And now, Vishakata, at the moment of Hashma's Din, there was Shakata. Why is that? Lama Yira'ah, Kirish Lakish. Yom Shlakish, Maidev Si, Vayer Vayboker, Yom Hashishi. What's that? Hashishi. How come it's Yom Chamishi? How come it's Yom Rivi'i? And why not Yom Shishi? Why all of a sudden Hashishi? Ella must be something unique about a shishi. So melamed shitna hakadosh baruch hu maaseh bereishit v'amar lehem im Yisrael mekablim haTorah atem mitkaimim v'im lav ani machzir etchem v'tohu v'bohu. So therefore, the earth was terrified that maybe it would turn out not to exist because this whole thing didn't work. But as soon as Mishamai Mishmata, then the Eretz that had been Yerah became Shakata. Again, this seems to be part of the same sugya, because Lechora, as I think our president pointed out, it only works out if you hold that Yom Hashishi is the Shisha B'Sima.
Right.
Otherwise, how does it work out?
Or it could be the sixth day of the process.
Exactly. It could be the sixth day of the process. From the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking. So since the process began on a Monday, so it could be that this would be Yom HaShish. A little bit more difficult to hear, but fine.
It would be similar to Sfiras HaOmer, where
yeah. Darash Rabbi Simoi. B'sha'a shehigdimu Yisrael na'aseh l'nishma, bo shishim ribush o malachei asharet, v'kol echad v'echad miYisrael kashu lo shnei k'tarim. Echad keneged Nasa, Echad keneged Nishma. At the beginning, when Klal Yisrael was Mekabel, so the Adoyim that are referred to later, the mysterious Adoyim, where Kodesh Baruch Hu says after the Maisa Egel, take off your Adoyim. Shouldn't be wearing the Adoyim. What were these Adoyim? These Adoyim were crowns. Each one was given two crowns. One of which was Keneged Nas, and one of which was Keneged Nishma, and these crowns conferred immortality to people. There's immortality, depending on the Gemara, but it's not how far we go with the immortality, but But certainly freedom from the Yetzer Hara, freedom from forgetting, freedom from all of the things that fragment our lives, because the fragmentation is a function of the fragmentation of the Luchot. But Kiman Shechatu Yisrael, Yordu Me'av Yisrim Ribu Malachi Kabbalah Upirkum. 120,000 Malachi Kabbalah came and took them up. Shemar Vayit Natslu B'nei Yisrael at Adyam Me'ar Choreb. Tosfos asks, this doesn't seem fair. It's supposed to be Midas Tevez, Meruba, Midas Puranut. How come only 60,000 came down for the good part? But when it comes to the bad part, all of a sudden 120,000 come down. It says, no, that's the whole point. A Malach Kabbalah could only have the keyach to take off one crown. So you needed two of them in order to take off both crowns. Mashiach, a Malach Tevez can give you two crowns. Amr Chama Bar Chanina. Both events took place at Har Choreb. It's not to be read et Adyam mihar choreb, the adi that they had received at har choreb. Both things, vayit natsu, is also bahar choreb. So it's bechoreb ta'anu, bechoreb pirku. Bechoreb ta'anu kinyamor, like we said before, har Adyam is given bahar choreb. But also bechoreb pirku, dixi vayit natsu b'nei Yisrael bechoreb. So both issues took place at Har Sinai. What is the implication of this? We're going to have to see. I mean, it doesn't seem to be some nogea. You mean that it happened immediately? Okay, to be understood. Omer Reb Yochanan, v'kulam zocha Moshe v'natlan. Moshe Rabbeinu took all of those crowns and kept them. D'somek leu Moshe yikach es ha'ol, because it says immediately afterwards that Moshe took the ol and then left the machane, so apparently he took the ohel with these things. Now, the real underlying issue over here is both Rashi and Tosfos discuss, take for granted. The reason that we say Moshe Rabbeinu took it is because these kitarim were the source of the glow in his on his face, which appears immediately afterwards, that when Klal Yisrael are talking to Moshe, he only had to put on the mask beforehand, and only when he gives over the dibur, they were terrified of him because of this. Since these kitarim were, says Tosfos, kitarim of kod, they cause you to glow. As Rashi explains, this great book about that, called Patterns in Time, as Rashi points out, the lashon of Vayikach es ha'ohel means he took the glow. Because it says, Behilo Neiro Alai Roshi. Right? That's the English word halo, comes from that ohel. That idea of a glowing head is ahal. So Memela, Vayikach doesn't have to be explained to Pshuto, et Edyan Vayikach Moshe, and ignore es ha'ohel. You can even read it together with es ha'ohel. He took the glow of those Torim, and he moved out with it. Observe that the two are very interrelated. See, he changed because of what had happened to Yisrael. Now, remember that the sugya, even though it began talking about Prisha, inevitably moved into the Shviras Halukos. That was the other thing that Moshe had done Midaita. So we had two sugyas of Prisha, which is that he was Hesif Yom Echad Midaita for everybody else, and he was Hesif Eternity for Prisha, in a sense, for himself. Those two inyanim are fundamentally related. The question is, how long will it take for you to be Chesil Aleichem? How long will it take for me to be Chesil Aleichem? Right? They're both dealing with Prisha. So one halacha that he was Mechadish was Prisha, the other was the Shviras Haluchas. We are now back to Shviras Haluchas, you'll notice, not even having paid much attention, because we're talking about the Piruk. We started off by talking about how Sinai it was Kulay positive. Here we had a brief remise to the Shviras Halukos. Then we had a transitional moment in which we started talking about the problems of Har Choreb. Problems of Har Choreb is that it was a rape. It wasn't so partial. Then we now take for granted that those problems express themselves somewhere down the line. The first expression that we notice is the loss of the Adonai. Comes along now the Gemara to explain, don't think that the Adoyim, the loss of the Adoyim, is something that happens in the history after Kabbalah Sater. It's part of Kabbalah Sater. It happened at Har Torah. So the Nitzel of the Adoyim is part of the way that we have to relate to Torah, in precisely the same way as the Ramban explained before, that the Asher Shibarta also comes to say, not stam, that you were correct in breaking them, but that this is part of the continuous relationship to Torah, and therefore the Shviras HaLuchos is immortalized in the Oren HaBris. The pieces are there in the Oren HaBris, the Samtem Ba'Oren. And he says, I was mekabel this. Ramban says, this, I was mekabel this pshat. That's the meaning of the Ishur. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu views the pieces as being important, it must be that it's set up as his chavivus of the approach of Kabbalah Sater.
The pshita, they never moved anywhere. They were waiting for Moshe.
Well, okay.
What's the chiddush
with the Gemara? That's what I just told you what the chiddush is. The chiddush is that it's a process of chore, not that it happened to be Bar Sinai, but that it was as central to Kabbalah Satera as Na'aseh v'Nishmah was. The same way you took the Adoyim and you understand that that's part of the experience of Choreb, the loss of the Adoyim is part of the experience of Choreb. In the same way that getting the Luchas is part of Choreb, the breaking of the Luchas is part of Choreb. Okay? That's the double meaning of Choreb. The Gemara later will discuss why is it called Har Sinai, why is it called Har Choreb, and we'll see about this.
Which is setting the stage for the Torah Shabbat Choreb. Is that correct?
Omer b'chama b'chanina b'chorev tov b'chorev tov. Fine. Omer Ish Lakish. Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'gzirem lanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes. That's what I just said. Yeah, that's what I was referring to. The Gemara dashes this later on. But it's Harshi Yorda Churban. And the Pashas to the Yom HaSayimam. Because they weren't Mekabah. We'll see when we get to this. Otsi HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'gzirem lanu. Shadamar Abduye Hashem Yashuvun. Ubo Tzion Brina v'simchat olam al rosham. It's like simchat olam. In other words, the standing simcha that was always there, that was there back at the original Kabbalah Torah, simcha shemei olam, your historic simcha that you lost, is now, will be back al rosham. So in the same way that the luchas are permanent, so too the adoyim weren't lost, but they're set aside. Omer Rav Elazar, b'sha'ash yikdimu Yisrael na'aseh l'v'nishma, yatztah bat kol v'amra lahem, mi gilah l'banai razeh. How in the world, this is absolutely amazing, that they should have the same secret to the way life works, that of all of the things that exist, only the Malachi HaShoreis know about this. They're mishtamish with this secret. Shemalachai Hashem mishtamshim. Dichsiv baruchu Hashem malachav giborei koach osei devaro lishmoa bekol devaro. Look at this. There are certain malachim or giborei koach who first are osei devaro and only then are shomea kol devaro. Now, this, you would say, is a contradiction to being a malach. A malach, by definition, is a shliach. How can a shliach possibly do something without being told to do it? L'chaira, you have to do it. You have to be told, otherwise it makes no sense. Therefore, says the Gemara, what distinguishes a malach hashoreis from a normal malach? This. What does it mean to say malach hashoreis? Every malach is misharet. You have a job, you do your job, you're being misharet at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheirut means valet services, not just steward services, doing my job. It's valet. A valet cannot be told what to do. His shlichut is to be a valet, which means if you're going to sit there and I'm going to come out of the bathtub and there ain't going to be no bathrobe for me, I am going to be furious. Your job is to figure out that I need a bathrobe, you idiot. Where? Well, I need to hire a valet for somebody. I could take anybody for that. I could take a shaita. I can get a robot for that. Bring bathrobe. Stupid valet are you? So it's where your shlichus consists of sherus, it is up to you to figure out what is meant to be done. But that's a whole different concept of a normal malach. It seems to be somewhere between a malach and an independent entity. By the way, you'll notice there's a vast literature about the concept of butler, which is built around this contradiction. To what extent is a butler an oved bialma, and to what extent is the butler the balabayas? I mean, take a look at Batman. Right? Well, very seriously, the butler in Batman basically raises Batman. He's the one that is the chashuva one, right? Think about the butler in all of the British literature, or the butler in The Remains of the Day, which people mistake him for the balabayas. His whole nisoyan is that he has to be murdered, or the earliest place where this occurs in the Torah is Eliezer Eved Avram. Eved Avram Anoki. Because he looked like Avram, he could be mistaken for Avram. That's the concept of a butler. So there is something very different, and certainly this is not the kitchen help. A normal malach is the kitchen help. This is not the kitchen help. This is a malach, and of course the height of that idea where, you know, Shmo, Geshem Moro, and so on, is the Malach Matat, which creates all the problems. And then the Olden Lepardes, in which people actually confuse the Shnei Rishuyos, and so on. So there's a getter of Malach in which the Malach works with Nasim and Ishmael. Normally, a human being's response to a Kodesh Baruch Hu's offer would be, you know what, God, anything you say. Tell me, and I shall do. To which God's response is, hey buddy, if I needed to tell you what to do, I could have robots. What do I need you for? I don't need you to be told what to do and to do it. And that was the whole beauty of Kabbalah Satara, is that Klal Yisrael said, you know what, the hell with it, don't tell us anything. We're doing. Afterwards we'll figure out what it is that you mean for us to do when you respond, and so then we'll go ahead. So therefore, this becomes Mamrish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is unbelievable. Mishlei Malach HaShoreis is created with this secret. That's the whole point. So existentially, his very essence is to perceive what is coming. What's the word? To anticipate. Thank you. To anticipate. Klal Yisrael somehow managed to figure this out on themselves. It's a different pressure. Nice of an Ishma. Great. Okay.
Our highest madrega is being an Eved, like Moshe. When we try to figure out our own, we came up with an Ego Hazaha.
No, it's the opposite is true. You see, this is where we get, this is exactly why your question is brilliant. This question that, what's your name again? I'm sorry.
Joel.
Huh?
Joel.
Joel. The Gemara says, Harbi Yossi Ike Meshulcha. Is that why you're not a regular Joel?
Zach.
So Dr. Zach is asking, Lechera, that's what causes the ego, which is precisely why it's brought here in the circuit, don't you see? Notice, this is what we're discussing now, the two faces of Kabbalah Zatera, the element of coercion, the element of Ratzon, the elements of the Shvira Salukas, the elements of the Shleima Salukas, the Hisnatzos of the Adoyim and the Kabbalah of the Adoyim. There was something that was dual natured, which we're going to see on Amud Beis as the essence of Tera, is that it's dual natured. There was something dual-natured about the whole thing. So we were playing with fire. Because the Kabbalah Zatera itself needs to be a relationship in which we take ourselves very seriously. If you don't take yourself seriously, you can only enter a relationship of Avdus. But the relationship over here was not a relationship of Avdus. It was a relationship of love, of mutuality, and so on and so forth. But if you enter into a relationship of mutuality, you begin to confuse yourself about who has the rights to determine the matrix of the relationship, or at least the space of the relationship, yeah? That leads to the ego. These issues are exactly what's being brought up over here. So the Shaila is, they're acting like a Malach Yashar. It's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in Israel. Where did they come up with this? It's amazing. At first they're going to be doing it, then they're going to be listening. Omer Chama Barabi Chanina, this is Merumez in the Pasuk. The Pasuk talks about Klal Yisrael, Ketapuach Ba'atzei Hayar, Kein Dodi Bein Habanim. Beautiful Pasuk. But what does it mean? It sounds very nice. You know, like an apple tree in the middle of a forest. So too is Klal Yisrael amidst all of the Goyim Misaviv. But conceptually, what's that talking about? Why would we compare them dafka to a tapuach? Lomar lecha, ma tapuach ze piyo kodim la'alav, af Yisrael ikdimu na'aseh l'nishma. Just like the tapuach, the fruit comes before the leaves, so too, Klal Yisrael had a fruit before there were any leaves, which is impossible. You need the energy from the leaves to create the fruit. So how did you get the fruit? That's why Klal Yisrael, that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu was amazed. Now, as Tosfos points out, there ain't no such tree. So what the heck are you talking about? Where do you have a tree in which you have fruit? I mean, we got plenty of apple trees in my backyard. He says, I can tell you personally, there's no question about it. You get first the leaves, and then you get the fruit. And here is Tosfos' famous approach, which we see all the time through the Targumim and so on. Ketapuach does not mean an apple. The Goyim translated this, it's very interesting, as apple, in their Midrashim, so to speak, which is why the Eitz Hadas became an apple. Where the heck did anybody pick up that the Eitz Hadas is an apple? But the point is, the Eitz Hadas is an Esrog. The word Esrog means desire. Which is why the Targum of Teira Yishek and so on and so forth is Itruga. So therefore, Tapuach over here is not a reference to an apple, it's a reference to an Esrog. An Esrog, indeed, its fruit come out before its leaves. In what sense? Because since the Esrog tree, fruits remain from year to year. And they'll carry, so Mamela, the new growth of the tree, it turns out you have fruit hanging there and the leaves coming out. You said the fruit is there before the leaves, in that sense, right? That's exactly why they started with the apple, you're right. And certainly after Mashiach comes, they'll have to, either we'll start a competing company or they'll have to grow up. So Mamela, that's what we're talking about over here. That's very fascinating, huh? Because it's Dar Mishana L'Shana. The truth is, it goes all the way back to the Eitz Hadas. That's the point. So, and this, in fact, was a Maisa Shohaya. You know, there was once a Tzeduki who was Chazil Rava to come Ayin B'Shmaita. He sees Rava is sitting there thinking about a Sugya, and he's so involved in his Sugya that his Yosvat Sposid Yodei Tutei Kare, he had his fingers under his foot. So he had bent his hands and he put his shoe on top of his hands. He's sitting there thinking. And he's so involved in his thinking that he's pressing on his fingers to the extent that they're bleeding all over the chair. And he hasn't even noticed. So this drives the Tzeduki crazy. I mean, what kind of detachment? What do you get so involved in your crazy sugis for? You know, you're the same way you were at Har Sinai. So he says to him, let's just read it inside. The Chazir Rabba to come Ayin B'Shmaitz. The Yosfa Etz Ba'asa the Yodei Tutikari. He's got the fingers of his hand under his shoe. For Kamayitz Ba'u. He's squeezing them. Become Ivan Etz Ba'asa Doma. And there's blood bubbling out of his fingers. And he doesn't notice. On my way, so he says to Rabba, I'm a Paziza. You're such a hasty people jumping into things that you know nothing about. The kadmitu b'maychulu b'naychulu. Your mouths open up before your ears. You don't listen to things. You always have something to say. You jump in, nasav nishma. Akati b'pachzu taychu kemaitu. You're still exactly the same as you used to be. Here's another idiot doing the same things. Paying no attention to reality, but he's got this whole little world that he lives in. It's the same thing. Don't you think that Bereisha, Iboyla full of Mishma, Imatzidu Kaplita, you don't think you should have listened to what are the mitzvahs? First, make an intelligent assessment. Are you really going to be able to live with this or not? No assessments, no problem. Ready to jump in where angels fear to tread. What kind of crazy people are you? You should have said, Imatz Kaplita, fine. Below Kaplita, if you saw that it was going to be too much, then you wouldn't have been Mekabel. That's what all of the intelligent nations of the earth did. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and said to them, would you like to have a Torah? They said, well, I don't know. What does it say? Tell us what it says. You should have said the same thing, which was the whole point of the difference of saying Nasav and Ishma, which is that I don't need to know what it says. That's the point. Whereas the Yumais, because when you say, tell me what it says, what you're saying is, I'm not interested in what God has to say. I'm interested in how I feel about what God has to say, which is unfortunately the same as many people today in Klal Yisrael. That mitzvah I'm not comfortable with. This halacha doesn't sit well with me. People monitor. They use those words. It's exactly what the Yom HaZayim said. Well, you know, I don't know. And what's interesting is, my father's Hazal always pointed out, Zadar HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them when they asked, what does it say? So he would test them and say, well, it says once every 7 years you can't plant your field. What do you mean we're going to starve? I forget it. No, so he said, you can't kill. You'd think that's a pretty much, I mean, you also hold you can't kill. But I ain't going to accept your I can't kill. I want my I can't kill. That's the point. So the end result is, you start off with a halacha that's not comfortable, and yet nothing is comfortable. Because the truth is, I don't want your halacha. I want to be the center of what's right and wrong.
But you can accept the Torah Shavuktav, right?
Exactly. And in accepting the Torah Shavuktav, all that proves is that you can interpret it any way you want. And you'll end up being this the arbiter of, and the moral authority in the end anyway. Which is exactly why none of the nations ever had a problem in accepting the Torah Shavuktav. Yeah, which of course goes all the way back to the Tanchuma throughout the Sugyan. Yeah, if it was a question of Torah Shavuktav, I mean, no problem, anything is fine.
Don't kill, don't steal when I
kill. Yeah, I'll explain, don't kill doesn't mean where, I mean, she's pregnant and I don't want the baby, I mean, of course it doesn't matter.
You just said that not saying the Shema was sort of like on the Torah Shavuktav, and now this Suki is saying you're impetuous because of that, but I thought that the
Torah Shavuktav. Yeah, I mean, that's. I mean, obviously, it's included. Whatever it's going to take. I mean, basically, I'm including it now that I realize the implications.
Okay. Sometimes when they say Suki, especially Israeli Bamaron,
meets Christians.
Yeah.
Very often. Or Marley. So he said, "Let me tell you something. Anan de segin b'shleimusa." You know what? Our expertise is in being shalom. Yaakov Ishtam, we're Anoshim Tmimim. When somebody's in love, he doesn't sit there and make a checklist and decide whether this is the girl for me. He's in love and he jumps into a relationship. That's what it means to be in love. So by us it says, Tumat Yisharim Tanchem. It's the wholesomeness of a person who is straightforward that will lead him in the right approach. But you guys are always thinking, you know. Your expertise is to figure out alilot. You've always got another angle. Always another angle. Always another plot. So you know what the pasuk continues on to say about you? Hanav inshe, the sagan baliluta. These people are such experts at drakeup. K'tivu v'selav bogdim yashdem. It's the falsity of the way in which they present things that is completely a misrepresentation. In the end, that's going to destroy them. And that's, you're 100% right, that's what it boils down to. Do we have commitment and we'll work it out because we're in love, or are we big thinkers? Omrib Shulmar Nachmeni, Omrib Yonatan. My desi libavtini akoti kala, libavtini meachat bachat meinayek. That's your Pshat HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you made me fall in love with you with one of your eyes. What's it, one of your eyes? Well, you know, it sounded good. When I see that you'll be makabel the Torah, then I get both of your eyes. But at the beginning, okay, I catch your wink, you know. L'kishetasi. So then it'll be b'shteinayim. But l'maisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fell in love with one eye. So in other words, he also put himself into this. I accepted you even though I hadn't seen any evidence that this was more than talk. You said Nasa Vanishma. I knew that it wasn't going to work out so pashut, but I also let myself be seduced. So it's on both directions.
It doesn't even
show me
saying, it's like,
Hazar,
it's like,
yes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, he was Nitpate, etc. Omar Ula, Aluva Kalam is a Nabatoku Pata. It's a pretty low class bride that finds herself a lover while she's under the chuppah. I mean, this is Klal Yisrael. They're sitting there under Har Sinai. They're still at the chuppah. They haven't even left the chuppah. And already they're sitting there now they're in bed with the eagle. I mean, this is pretty bad news. Amr of Mori, brother Bat Shmuel. My brother, that's a pasuk. Pasuk Acha Melach Ben Sibo, while the king was still partying, Nirdi Natan Recho, my nerd, which is not a very good smell, gave off its smell. So that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, well, Moshe's up in Arsina, I've been Makab the Torah, and the Melach of Bim Sibo, you have no idea what is going on down there. Omar Rav, but take a look at that pasuk. At that very pasuk, it's talking about what a disgusting kala it is. Adain Chavivusa he got by. You see? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not lose the Chavivus for Klal Yisrael even at that minute. Because it says it in such a nice way, comparatively. I mean, what would it, should it have said? What would you have said? You would have said, she stunk up the room, is what you would have said. You wouldn't have said, Nirdi Natan Recho. You would have said, Nirdi Yisriach. But it doesn't say that in the pasuk. Instead, it says, Natan. Veloktiv Yisriach. So even the sensitivity not to call the Kala a stinker. That's what it should have said. A stinker she is. I mean, it's interesting. We use this in English too, the same concept. To say it nice. Maybe not Tanarifa. Tanarabona, now that you're talking about Aluva, I want you to know that Aluvim, the Inan Olvim, Shomim, by the way, the Bach changes the girsa over here to the common expression of the Brisa, which is Hane'elavim Ve'inam Olvim. The reason, however, that this girsa that we have is probably correct, not like the Bach, is because the Gemara is trying to relate this to Aluva Kala. And part of the meaning of it is that Klal Yisrael, I'm going to tell you in a minute, because I think this is the center of all things. So Aluvi Meinam Olvim, Shomim Kherpatan, Veinam Meshivim, Osib Me Ahava Usmechim Yisurin. Which Yisurin? The Yisurin of the fact that people are Ma'aliv them. That's the point. Notice other people are coming, all the Umas Olam are coming, and writing their books about how awful the Jews are, right? The New Testament, the Quran is totally focused on this Maisa. Again and again and again about the Asiyas HaEgel. The whole Quran, the proof about how ridiculous Klal Yisrael is that there they were at Har Sinai, and this is what they did. So we are Sevel, there Ali, and that's the riot, and the Christians as well. They were never Shalem in Kabbalah Sater, and God was only waiting to find another one to replace them, and so on. He asked Moshe, maybe he will make you into a new great nation. And finally, Yashka came along. But it never worked. It was never meant to work. There were always Aluvim. Humans are damned. Humans are doomed. They need the grace of God. You see what happens when you try to become too big for your britches. That's what happens. So we sit there all the centuries listening to their shtusim and our volim. And we're makabel. Smeichim b'yisurim. We accept that those yisurim that they could say this about us is mechaper on us. Even though Ta'akarash Baruch Hu, the chavivus was still there. We accept it. What does the pasuk say about that? Aleihem ha-katuv omer, the ohavav ki tzeit ha-shemesh b'gvurato. Ki tzeit ha-shemesh is the pshat that the time comes, there's a time of night. But once the sun breaks forth, there's no arguing with it. Ki tzeit ha-shemesh was like, wow. Omer b'yotum, my betziv, Hashem yitain omer, what is this? God gives a word, and those words are the besura. How do they say in English? They're always talking about Yashkan, the besura. The news, what is it? The news? Something like that.
Annunciation.
No. There's a word for it. That he's bringing the...
Tidings.
Yeah, tidings, maybe. No. But they have songs, a lot of spirituals. A lot of spirituals are about this. Are about how he's coming, he brings the herald.
Salvation?
Yeah, I think it might have been even news. There was a Simon Garfunkel song that had an Arabian.
Tidings.
I think it is news, bringing the good news. Okay, but anyway, so this is the Mavasser, yeah? So here it says, Mavasrot Tzvarav. What's that, Tzvarav? I mean, the Tzvarav could only be referring to the Goyim. So the good news to the nations, yeah, I think that's what they say, bringing good news to the nations. The good tidings, sometimes they say. But so the good news means that somehow Kabbalah Satera was Nogea Kol Olam Kulay. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak to Kol Olam Kulay. So what does it mean that his imreis were given to the Tzvarav? It means that Kol Dibur V'Dibur Shiyatzah Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nechalak L'Shivim L'Shonot. Each word that was said by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Har Sinai scattered over all 70 languages. So that there's an element of Kabbalah's HaTorah that indeed speaks only to a Frenchman. And another element that speaks only to an African. To one who is Makabal Torah, all of it speaks. And that's why we bring riots, you know. Totafot means an African. In Swahili it means this. And that's how we bring a riot. A Totafot means our Parshios and so on. But to the Umayyads, there's a particular element that is Nogea, and that's the Shivim Lashonos. Tony Dever of Yishmael, Uchepatish Yefotzei Sela. What's the pshat? Like a hammer breaks up stone. So ma patish ze nechalak b'kama nitzotzot, which Rashi learns means just like al yedei ha-patish. It's a little funny, I mean, because the patish isn't nechalak, the stone is nechalak. The Gemara says the patish is nechalak. But what it means is al yedei, the patish, you have all of these shattering little sparks coming out all over with pieces. So af kol dibur v'dibur shiyatzah mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu nechalak l'shivim l'shonot. The same thing is true about the dibur Hashem. Now the problem is that the mashmaut is that's referring to the patish, not to the sela. Tosfos is very bothered by this. I mean, the Torah is not compared to the sela. The Torah is compared to the patish. So how could the patish potzei sela be a reference to that which the patish hit, scattered? It's the patish that must be. You're saying the patish includes these diburim. So out of the patish were sparks to all of the. So what does that mean? Says Tosfos, what it's referring to over here is a type of mythic stone, which is so powerful, it's called the Snapiri. He brings many Midrashim stories about the famous case in which the black the smithy takes the Snapiri, he puts it in the smithy, and he smashes it, and the hammer scatters into little pieces of sparks and so on, and the stone remains whole. So he says it is in fact referring to Kapati Shifos itself. But it's not a normal sela. It's talking about the way that Torah impacts upon those who are not impactable. But Lamaisa, it still scatters the Peshivim L'Shainais and shows you the elements that are Nogea. So that's the pshat over here. It's not Kipatish Yefotzitzenu sela. Okay? He compares this to Avonim Shechakumayim. Not the Avonim were Meshachik the mind. The Avonim were Meshukakim Ayate the mind. So Kapatish Yefotzeit Sela is the Sela is Mefotzeit the Patish, not the Patish is Mefotzeit Sela. It's a very different way of understanding the metaphor and so on. But it's Omer of Hanano Bar Papa might receive Shimuki Nigidim Adaber. Listen to me carefully because I am speaking about nobility over here. What does that mean? Umalacha, managid ze, yeshbo lahamit, lahachayo, lomenim shruk, divetral kinigid. See, you're talking about royalty over here. Because just like a nagid, who is a governor or appointed noble, so yeshbo lahamit, lahachayo, a king can decide who lives and who dies. Av divrei Torah, yeshbem lahamit, lahachayo. You should know that Divrei Torah have in them both life and death. Haino de Yomar Rava, this doesn't mean the fee of Misa on a mitzvah or the skar. It means the way in which you learn Torah can either destroy you or can make you live. That's what Rava says. L'maiminim ba, if you learn Torah the way that Rava said, that Ananda Segiyan Bishlimu said, you put your heart into it and you love it and you care. So then it becomes Samadachai. I shall spell L'maiminim ba, the way you use it, your right hand. When you want to use something that you really care about, you don't do it Kila Achriya, you use your hand, which is most Niyuman. And that's your right hand. But L'masmi'ilim ba, you're really involved in talking on the telephone. Or you're really involved in typing on your computer. With your other hand, you'll do the things that don't matter as much. So that's the masmilin book. If you relate to Torah like that, the Torah becomes poison. Samba de Musa, the fourth Torah itself, becomes poison. So this again refers to the ambivalence that's innate in Torah itself. Torah is destructive. And this is part of the Har Chorev element. There's, you're playing with fire, basically. So Kol Dibur, another pshat is Negidim, Kol Dibur v'dibur sh'yatza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Koshrim lo shnei ktarim. That's Negid. Negid is a sense of crowned. But that is a reference back to what we said before. Ki Negidim adaber. Now, I want to point out to you the way in which the sugya is interrelated and closely bound to the original question of the Shmiras Halavos by Moshe. Because what Moshe did essentially was, as we said yesterday, he said babies do not play with guns. And that's exactly what the Gemara is saying over here. If you're dealing with terror, you're dealing with fire. And initially, Klal Yisrael was in fact it was a child rape. Kabbalah Satara. They were not holding by it. They were not mature enough for it. And the whole thing was basically done in order to assure a future that would mature into a relationship, the beginning of which is Purim, the development of Tosh B'Av, and so on and so forth. So when Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the luchas, the Yasher Kochacha Shishibarta, is a recognition that what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing was the human response to an acceptance of the fact that when you're not big enough to use a thing, don't try. That's the point. When after the Maisa Ego, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Moshe's tefillah, which says, don't destroy them. And he says, okay, you know what? Let them take off their crowns from Har Sinai, and then I'll think about it. And then it says, Vayinatsu b'nei Yisrael, Esed Yomi Har Chorev, correct? But if they're going to keep those crowns on their heads, it's nothing to think about. So in other words, the Shviras Haluchas of Moshe Rabbeinu is the equivalent of the removal of the crowns of Klal Yisrael. And that's the Hanel loving Venam Olvin. You are a Kala Aluva. Are you going to be Makabal the fact that you're Makabal the Yisurin on being an Aluva? Or are you going to say, that's okay, we'll make it work? If you're going to say it's okay, we'll make it work, then it's hopeless. Because it's not okay. Because you're not penetrating to the underlying issue. And we find this reflected in history. It's an unbelievable thing. The same Shivasi B'Talmud, which was the priest of the Chaimis of Yerushalayim, which was the day of the Yisnachlus, which is the day of the Shviras HaLuchos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an offer. He made an offer that there shouldn't be a Churban. Early on, before the 11 years earlier, that we should be makabel on ourselves to be a mamlocha shefeva. Accept that you're nobodies. Take on the Nebuchadnezzar. This is not Tzidkiyahu's whole problem. Accept that Nebuchadnezzar is in charge and you're an eved to Nebuchadnezzar and it'll work out. And instead, Tzidkiyahu can't take it. He tries to figure out ways in which he can undo Nebuchadnezzar, be mavato reshvua to Nebuchadnezzar. And the Nebuchadnezzar says to him, what do you mean? You make a shvua to me, and then you go out, you mabaza me, and so on. And that was the end. So in other words, the way out of the of a problem which you see that you're not successful has to begin with an acceptance of the fact that you cannot use something that you're not holding by. Which is, I mean, it means it's a whole different way to look at the issues that come out afterwards. Because you only have to go through the destruction if you need to be stripped of your illusions. If you accept the fact that it was illusory, and you give back your crowns, so then there's no problem. You're willing to let go of the luchos and say, the luchos, they may have been something, but not if I'm going to take them. That's going to make them into nothing. This is a pella, because remember that the way that Moshe Rabbeinu deals with the shuras haluchos and the unwillingness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come back is by insisting that there shouldn't be a hashuras hashchina on the via umesayilah. Which means that as long as it is possible to be spiritual and in touch with God without being really someone that is part of the whole historical process of Tikkun and so on, then there would be no way for us to accept this. You understand the connection? Our problem is that we continue to believe in our spirituality and superiority and so on and so forth, despite the fact that we're infants playing with guns. If you can't accept that that's not true, that you're not holding by what you think you're holding, then you keep compounding your errors. Right? And you see, you mama see this happening. I mean, you see these letters that go out, you know, and all that happens is the people that write them are mavazin themselves. Everybody knows that you don't know what you're talking about. So what you attempt to do when you're saying, you know, we have no choice, and because we say no to this way, we have to insist that such and such a thing is not true, and nobody's allowed to believe it, and you can't read this book, and you can't eat this thing, and so on. So everybody, well, what are these people? And they're stupid. I understand it. But I know perfectly well that they don't know what they're talking about. This is exactly the problem. If you maintain your darga of spirituality and so on and so forth, and believe that it's unchanged despite all of the evidence to the contrary, and you insist, Klal Yisrael, I mean, maybe we're all that's left, but what we are is not all of it. We retain the whole, you know, we have a right to Eretz Yisrael, we have a right to this, a right to that, and we can keep continuing the same level that we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us, and he gave us this land, and who are you to take it away from us, and so on and so forth. That's where destruction comes from. That's not where the tikkun comes from. And this begins, Mamshach Kabbalah Satayra. You can't have things that you're not holding for. They're not forms. They're real. So as long as you're Sagim B'Shlimusa, it works. The moment that you're not Sagim B'Shlimusa, as Rava says, it'll kill you. It'll destroy you. It's poison. All your... So what do you mean poison? But I'm learning Torah. It's poison. Better for you not to be learning Torah. You're destroying yourselves. You have to do, it's not a question of mechanically doing things or believing in manifest destiny. It's a question of measuring up and being what it is that you have to be. Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Maida Siv, Tzror Hamor Dodi Li, Ben Shaddai Alim. Omer of Knesset Stroll, Fiyakarish Baruch. Ribbono Shel Olam, you may be vicious. You may be it so rare. You're being Miyatzerbi, you're being Maimerli. But nonetheless, Ben Shaddai Yalim. Look at this. After the terrible things that you did to us, what were those terrible things, is Rashi, that you insisted that we take off the Adayim? That's the Aluva. You insisted we take off the Aluva. But nonetheless, what did you say? Hasulim Mikdash, Vashachanti Betochan. And what is that? We know that the Mikdash is the Oran, is where the Shekhinah appeared. But the Oran has the two Badim on the Oran, which the Gemara says are breasts of a woman. That's why they stuck out from the Barochas, and they looked like breasts. Bein Shaddai Yalin, the Shechina was Shera between my breasts. So in other words, it's still a lover. In the midst of all of this, okay, but the two are interrelated. Eshkol HaKofer, Dodili, continues the Pasuk, Bekamei Engeni. Eshkol is Misha HaKol Shalom. Kofer is mechaperly on the outline of the Gedi. The which Gedi? The Gedi shecharamti li. The Gedi that I was makil kehilos now to worship the Gedi. A Gedi doesn't necessarily only mean a goat kid. You can use this, as the Marshal points out, the Lashon of Gedi can be the kid of either a goat or any other animal, even bovine. How do we know that the Lashon of Kerem is to draw together? I mean, my mash by karmi lishna de machnish. By the way, you should know that Rashi always learns the Dover Pashat. This is why it's why is a Yavna or the Mekaymes? It's not get two Ba'avurts, is it? That the Bonais are Cholais, Ben Akromim. So we always refer to a Mokum of Kerem B'Yavna. So that's where Rashi talks about it. Why is it called Kerem B'Yavna? Because it was a Mokum where Talmid HaChamim are gathered in Shurais to Kerem. But the idea over here is the gathering. So the Gemara asks over here, but to use the word Kerem as a gathering, where do you know that it means gathering? It's a Mishnah. Ki seisha kovesha kormim alav etakelim. Kormim alav means you stack up and you pile up kelim. So you see, we can use the word karmi and gadi to be referring to the hakala of the asifa sa'am sovi v'egim. The Omer of Yeshua and Levi might receive lichayav ki arugot habosem. What's the pshat? Ki arugot habosem. Kol dibur v'dibur shiyatsa mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The speaking, the lochayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his jaws, nitmale kol olam kulo bisamim. So the arugat habosem is the perfume that came with every word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke. By the way, I've pointed out to you before that the meaning of the word shame is always bosem. Because we saw back this eschel goy gadol, right? Or agadla shemecha. What's the targum of agadla shemecha? Is the whole story of the bottle of perfume, which Rashi brings. Right now, you're like a sealed bottle of perfume. Agadla shemecha, I'll take you from place to place, you'll be like an open bottle of perfume. Nirdina tan recho. What's the targum of nirdina tan recho that we just had? Nafik shma bisha be'alma. Bad name has gone out to the world. But that's the bishem is bosem. So that, and that's because the way in which we detect the nature of a thing without even understanding it, is smell. We interpret what we see. But smell is direct sensual contact with something in which we know immediately we like this, we don't like this. And it's just the shape of a molecule that we're perceiving directly, right? Which is astonishing. But if you saw the picture of the molecule on the screen, it wouldn't have any meaning to you. But because you have a sensory apparatus that can pick up the shapes of molecules, you're touching something and understanding something very intimate about it. That's why it's so intimate, smell. You have an intimate connection with the world around you only through smell. That's called shame. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, the world fills up with smell. Every word is a different perfume. But it's a beautiful metaphor. It's astonishing. Astonishing. You felt those words. You smelled those words. It went deep into you. It was completely intimate. It's like going through the duty-free shops, you know, trying out every one of them. So each word in the Torah was a separate bottle of perfume that was uniquely compounded, that included all of the meanings and interrelationships of the elements of that word. It's just astonishing. It's such a beautiful impression.
Smell is more the essence of the thing than...
Smell is the intimate contact. That's why the Bala Kabbalah is the only thing that wasn't problem in Gan Eden. We don't, because looking was pogrom, and touching was pogrom, and so on. But the only thing that wasn't pogrom, we don't see anywhere in the story that the smell of Gan Eden contributed to the chet. Not around us. The smell remains the one thing, which is why we use it for Abdullah. It's the only thing that allows you to retain your neshama yaseir, in a sense. It could take the place of neshama. Because it's something that still is retained, in Gan Eden. From Gan Eden. Where else do we have a direct perception of this instantaneously intimate? Our whole world is a world of broken down pieces that we keep trying to put together in our brains. Right? You get little pieces of data, you try to make a picture of the world. You take an infant, and it takes him a year until it can put together enough to figure out what it doesn't even get a sense of what's going on. Because there's not enough intelligence there to put the data together. But the smell is instantaneous. He knows exactly every animal, identifies every individual with a smell. knows precisely what the first thing an infant does is sniffs. So you see little children, they're always sniffing at things. Because that's the only contact that they really have. Notvot moreover. Oh, I'm sorry, wait. So Nidmar Kolonam Tolabisomi. Yes, the Gemara, but wait. If every Dibur, so you say the entire world fills up with the smell. But if it fills up with the smell, there's no room for another smell. So at the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the first Dibur, you couldn't say anything else because people were so overwhelmed by that smell. There was nothing else in existence. It was like, what a gosh, guys, don't you understand how amazing this is? What do you mean there's no room? You would have asked this kasha, that was there room for another smell. Because you're understanding the meaning of Nismalik Alayim Kulay. It means Nismalik Alayim Kulay. It's not that you were able to sniff this wherever you were. It's that this became the whole world. So if you listen to Anokhi Hashem Lokecha, you have space to experience Zochras Yom HaShabbos. There's no space left. So what happened? What an amazing gosh. So as the Gemara says, if that's the case, how could there be a second smell? So now where was there room in the world for the rest of the Dibros? Must be it must be that Mamish, with a special anhaga, the Ruach, which is kept by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his deepest treasure houses, he let that Ruach out to create room in the world for a new smell. And that's why it says in the Pasuk, Sibsosav Shoshanim. Pashas means his lips are roses. Notvot mor over, and they're dripping. They're dripping myrrh, but over, what's over? Passing. More is passing. That's the whole point. That his lips, I'll decree shoshanim, don't read that roses. Ela shoshanim. Those lips that were teaching Klal Yisrael were dripping perfume, but it was magic perfume that could be over, so that there was room for another moment of the lip. V'yom Rav Yeshua ben Levi, kol dibur v'dibur, sheyatzeh rabbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yatzeh da nishmasim shal Yisrael. So that's a pshat stam. It completely captured your soul. They died. Every dibur was so overwhelming that there was nothing else left. That's the point. Because it says, nafshi yatzeh b'dabro. My soul left me as he spoke. This is a bigger kasha. Forget about being filled up with the smell. I mean, me'achish and me'dibo rishon yatzta nishmasa. So how were they makabal at dibo sheni? I thought everybody dropped dead. So dibo sheni hech kibu. Oh, holy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tal she'osi la'achios ba'meisim mechiosa. Must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechayim meisim. In order to have a new life that would allow me now to hear another dibo. But the truth is every word of Torah is so totally consuming that it consumes your soul. So how is there room for anything else? These were people who learned Torah. See, that's unbelievable. So you need Tchias HaMeisim. And in fact it says, Geshem Nedavos Tanif Elohim. That this Geshem, that is the ultimate Nedava, that is Mechayim HaMeisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread over us. And indeed, Nachalat Kavin Nil'ah, your Nachalah was Nil'ah, was just completely wiped out by the Dibur up to that point, that even so, even though it was a Tla'ah, Atakonanta, you lifted it up, set it back up again, back on its base, Konanta set up on a base, even though they had completely collapsed, and start over again. Lomre Yeshua ben Levi, called Dibur v'Dibur. She had some Ipia Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chazru Yisrael Achoreim Yud Beis Mil. Every time there was a Dibur, they were so shattered by this Dibur that they backed away the whole length of the mountain, which was 12 kilometers. And the Malachi Hashores would come back and were pushing them forward. Like a Malachi Hashores Bidadimo. And my Malachi Tzvos Yidodun. Yidodun. That they were actually pushing them to to get something to work. It doesn't say Yidudim were walking themselves. It's Yididun. Yididun, they were pushing them. Like you hold a child, try to get the child to go forward. So you're Madadin. Madadin is, they were supporting us, pushing us forward. Don't be afraid. Go ahead. Maybe it's already late enough. We've had such a long bath, such a beautiful bath.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll wait till Mitzvah Shabbos. So
the full 12 meals, that would have been Hotzah. How could they be breaking
the law? That was the Shiloh of Mora, right? Okay. Fine. So we'll meet in 9:30 Be'ez Hashem. I mean, if you say about this daf, it's the same thing. I mean, this malik, all alam kulak, now there's no room for another daf. For, you know, so we need a little bit of time, a little bit of time to recover.